Good morning. It's good to see you today. I just real quick before Derek gets up this morning, I just wanted to share with you that my wife and I and Chuck and Venice were able to go to the convention meeting this week, and it was a great time. And I know many have asked, you know, how that went, and I know there were some concerns, you know, from time to time about different things that go on within our denomination. And I just want to say we have a few crazy uncles, but all is good in the convention. Amen. And the greatest thing that I just wanted to share with you this morning is that your cooperative giving and your generosity towards our church that we invest into the SBC. We had 64 missionaries that were commissioned on Monday night that are going to go to the ends of the earth. Amen. And we're so excited to have a small part in that. And we want to let you know like what's going on and how our church is investing in and being intentional about your generosity and about our commitment to reaching our neighbors and the nations. One thing that we did this week is we did get to see David Crowder in concert. And so for those of you who know David Crowder is, Chuck was there, and I've got some video if you want to see it after church, but it got a little crazy. I'm just kidding. And so, but no, we had a great time. And I just want to say this too. We've got just this week, yesterday, our young people left for the leadership and training. And so we've got a whole crew going out this week. Our young people, fifth and sixth graders, and some of our students. At camp last week, we had a young man come to know Christ as his Savior at camp. Amen. And then we also had a young man, and he's not here today, and I don't want to necessarily put his name out there yet, but that surrendered his life to be a pastor one day. And it was really unique because last Sunday, this young man came forward to the altar and was praying. And I thought in my mind, I said, I think one day that young man's going to be a preacher. And it appears that God's called him to do that. And so wouldn't it be exciting if we had a young man that grew up in our church and one day went out and planted a church or took a church? Amen. And that's what we want to be about. And that's why I wanted to come up this morning and just share with you. Derek will be preaching today. Zach will be preaching in a few weeks. And one of the things that we want to do here at Southgate is just acknowledge the reality that Southgate isn't built on a person. It's not built on one man or one family or one individual. And while I certainly appreciate that many of you come up to me afterwards and say, oh, I really love the sermon today, our responsibility as a church is to raise up other men who accurately handle the Word of God. And, you know, because one day I won't be here, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, God will take me home or, you know, whatever. The church can't be built on one person. It has to be built on a team. And so we want to do our best to give others opportunities to handle the Word of God. And Derek's going to come this morning. Derek, why don't you go ahead and come? And he's a little nervous, and so, but I'm excited for him, and I know he's going to bring us something from God's Word that's going to be very beneficial. Make Derek feel welcome today as he comes to the pulpit.
You clap now. We'll see what happens. Man, it's so good to be here this morning. It's so awesome to be able to have this opportunity. I just want to say thank you to Jason and just the staff in general for, you know, giving me this time to be able to take a chance on me to preach this morning. So I'm so glad you're here. And let me say this, happy Father's Day to all of our dads out there. I have a wonderful dad, and I just look around and I see all these great dads that have your family in church, and it makes this heart right here happy. And also for those that are watching at home, happy Father's Day to you as well. And so now let's get into the sermon this morning. The right and wrong ways to deal with guilt is what we're going to be talking about. Have you ever found yourself struggling with the consequences of bad choices that you've made in your life? Maybe something that has happened years ago or maybe even yesterday. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the three wrong ways that we try to deal with sin while also learning about how God wants us to react when we mess up. But first, I want you to understand that the struggle of guilt and shame, it's not brand new, okay? But something that's plagued mankind since the very beginning. So from the Old Testament to the New to even today, okay? All the way to right now, men and women alike have dealt with guilt from sin. In the current series that we've been on the past couple weeks, Pastor Jason has taught us about the dangers of denying guilt and dealing with guilt using moralism. And so today, by looking at the story of Adam and Eve, we're going to see how they responded while also discovering how God wants us to respond when we mess up. So if you would, if you'll get your Bibles right now and turn to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And before we get into the Word this morning, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, as we come to you right now, we thank you for the day that you've given us. God, we thank you for your word. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak through your word this morning. God, you know the hearts and the folks that are here and those that are watching. And so, God, I pray that you move in this time, Lord. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. So as you found your place, of course, it's in the very beginning, just within the first page or two. But let's read together, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So as we look at this story this morning, which many of us have heard many, many times, we see the fall of man. Adam and Eve are new on the scene, and it took no time for them to break the one rule God had given them. Now, you might be saying to yourself right now, "Man, if they had just not broken that one rule, we would still be in the garden." But friend, it's not that easy. Think about your own life, okay? Have you sinned this week, this weekend, maybe even this morning? Can we really throw stones when each of us have the same struggle when it comes to sin? And let me make very clear on this, because I feel like it's a misconception in the church today that a lot of folks think that the people that are in these seats are perfect, right? There's some people that actually think that. And so let me be clear with this. There's no one perfect in here. As it's clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it states, "For we all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God." So please know that you are not alone and in very good company. So as we get into this message now, let's dig in, and we're going to dig into the three parts, the three mistakes that were made with how Adam and Eve responded. So number one, they tried to cover it up. We're going to look at verse 7 now, if you'll look with me. "Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." So the first thing that happened there is they tried to cover up their sin, right? Does this sound familiar to anyone in the room today? I know for me personally, there have been many times that I have tried to just brush a bad decision under the rug. Well, nobody saw me. No harm, no foul. But in our hearts, we know that what we've done is wrong and don't want to admit it. Have you found yourself in this situation? I know I have. There have been plenty of times in my life where I have done or said something that I shouldn't. And when the guilt, or better yet, remorse of what I've done hits me, I go to work. Now, not literally come to work, but I go to work doing something that I wouldn't normally do. You know, try to, take the focus off the problem. And at times even act like, you know, it's no big deal. A little abracadabra and poof, the problem is solved, right? But it doesn't work that way, because covering our sin and struggles only makes things worse. Think about it this way, okay? Say you have a splinter in your finger. It immediately hurts, right? Man, if you're messing with something, you get that splinter in your finger, it hurts right away. And rightfully so, because right, it's a foreign object in your body. All of a sudden, it's just throbbing in your finger. But what happens if you decide to, you know, instead of taking care of it right then and there, that you leave it in? Well, infection begins, right? It starts to swell. It starts to get red. The pain starts to increase. And the longer it stays, the more pain and sorrow increases. But when that splinter is removed, there is immediate sense of relief. And when we give our sin and failures to Him, it's that same relief, like that weight that is lifted. You could ask anybody in this room that has accepted Christ as their Savior. They can tell you that whenever they accepted Him as their Savior, there was a weight that was lifted, okay? You know, when I think about when it comes to covering up and how, you know, little things can many times cause problems, it makes me think back to my days when I was in Oklahoma at a church. And at this church, they hosted a monthly dental clinic. And so mainly with this dental clinic, they did tooth extractions. And for any in the room other than Ben, who's around here somewhere, you kind of have an idea of what a tooth extraction is. And you wouldn't believe the amount of pain and suffering that these folks were going through, all because many times of one tooth. I'll never forget one month when a lady came in, and she was in excruciating pain, okay? She hadn't slept in days, and she was truly miserable. When her number was called, she slowly got to her feet and had to be helped back to the pod where they would do the dental procedures. Now, mind you, this clinic was not very big, and they basically had curtains in front of the pods. I definitely preferred my side of the curtain, as I'm not a fan of blood or pain. Can I get a witness this morning? Not a fan of it at all, but it was something that we did each and every month. And, you know, they still currently do it now, but I digress. But in just a few minutes, I hear this ruckus behind the curtain, you know, and it wasn't like anything that I had ever heard. And the next thing I know, the lady that had just had, she just had to be practically carried to the back, is now dancing down the middle of the waiting room. And I mean, she's just not like dancing like this. I mean, she's dancing. I mean, just pure jubilation that she has in her heart. And I mean, everybody's just dumbfounded because they've seen the same person I did. And so to see that sight, and it makes me think about how many times for a lot of people, that's the jubilation that they feel whenever Christ takes their burdens. But now as we look back at the text in verse 7, for the first time, Adam and Eve realized that they're naked and immediately went to work covering themselves up, right? One thing to notice here is that they tried to fix their problem. They tried to fix it themselves. Not only have they acknowledged their bad decision, but now they are officially making clothes out of fig leaves. I can only imagine the conversation that is being had at this point. So instead of going to the one who created them, their first instinct was to take matters into their own hands. Does this sound familiar? I know I'm guilty of this. Not only is guilt and shame now in the picture, but probably anger as well. And yet for the first time, they are feeling all these emotions at once. When we make bad choices, guilt and shame are always right behind. And for Christians, we immediately feel conviction, right? Because here's the thing. If we have the Holy Spirit living in our heart, we should feel the weight and conviction of making wrong choices, right? We should feel that. It's part of the process when it comes to true repentance. But as we end on this first point of covering our sin up, I believe the Bible says it best in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, where it says this, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." So now we've talked about how they tried to cover up their sin. Now we're going to get into the next point, is that they tried to hide it. So in verse 8, will you join me here? And it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So when they heard the Lord walking around the garden, they hid. And why was that their first instinct? Not only did Adam and Eve try to cover up their nakedness, but now they are straight up hiding. And I don't know about you, But playing hide and seek with God is about as logical as well, thinking that he's not going to notice that they're wearing fig leaves, okay? But let's dig deeper into this now. Obviously, some time has passed, and they had a close relationship with the Lord. It's not like Adam and Eve eating from the tree happened the day after he created them. That's not the case. Because if it was, why would they care that they broke the rule? Yet it was because they knew and loved the Lord that guilt and shame immediately entered the room after the first bite. I think that it's something that we miss many times, right? We get wrapped up with the fact that, you know, maybe the sins that we have committed hurt an individual, maybe a group of people, or even ourselves, without thinking about how much it hurts the Lord. This just once again shows that we don't always grasp the weight of our sin, right? When I look at this situation, I think about the way God loves us and how that love at times is displayed by a parent with a toddler, right? Think about it. There's some in this room that have a toddler and many that remember having a toddler. But they love that little baby boy or girl more than anything. Yet that kiddo is always testing the limits, right? Always. Man, there's some that maybe are pretty good, but there's others that, boy, they're straight up like you're thinking, how did I create this? Like, I can't believe that they're acting this way, right? And so you're getting the no, no, don't touch that, don't touch that. No, no, that's hot. No, no, you say no a whole lot. And not just one time, you always say no, no, right? But if you ask that parent how they feel about that child, they love that baby more than anything, right? And it doesn't matter if you've got a toddler in here right now or your toddler is, say, 50 years old at this point. You love that little boy or that girl so much, right? Well, it's very much the same way with God. And here's the thing. God knows that we're going to make a mess of things. He knows this. He's sovereign. And worse yet, he knows the when, where, and how of our bad decisions. Yet, think about this. He doesn't love us any less. It doesn't matter what you've done. He doesn't love you any less. He just wants you to take it to him. And this isn't me making a statement just to make this statement, to make you feel good this morning. But it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, I want you to get this. I want you to hear this this morning. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a good spot for an amen right there. I tell you, when I read that scripture, it gives me peace in my heart to know that, you know, even though I'm a knucklehead at times and I say things I shouldn't at times and do things that I shouldn't sometimes, I know that he loves me and he just wants me to get it right. Pastor Jason said it best in his message a few weeks ago, you cannot outsin God's grace, which should be a reminder to us all that Jesus died and paid for our sins, past, present, and future. That's something big to remember when it comes to the grace of God, because when we think it's just for past sins, we cheapen God's grace. It's not just for past sins. It's for the sins that have been committed recently and those that are going to happen in the future, because let me tell you, friend, if you think you're going to live a perfect life from now till the end of your lifespan, it's not going to happen. You're going to make a mistake, but that's the beauty of God's grace. So we've talked about how Adam and Eve have tried to cover up their sin. We've talked about how they've tried to hide it. Now let's talk about the third thing. They played the blame game. Read with me in verse 12 and 13. The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So things just keep getting worse and worse, right? So we started out where they tried the whole fig leaf thing. We're gonna make these fig leaves. I can only imagine what that looked like. And then they say, you know what? That's not a good idea. So I'm going to jump and hide behind these bushes and hide from God. Great concept. And so now we look at it here, and Adam immediately replies, "It was a woman you gave me." Now think about this for a minute. Not only is he blaming his bad decision on Eve, but he is truly blaming God, the one who created him, the one who gave him Eve, who gave him the garden. And as crazy as that might sound to you this morning, Adam blaming God, we are all guilty of going down this road in one way, shape, or form in our lives, right? It happens. The blame game, which I'm sure many in this room have played and some maybe even mastered. It is something that in 2021 is common practice, right? All you got to do is get on social media. You see a lot of it. The hardest thing, though, when it comes to breaking away from this, is that we don't want to admit when we are wrong and have done wrong. And I know I don't like to be wrong. You can ask my wife. I don't. And I doubt you do either. But the first step of getting over sin and struggles is being willing to admit that you've messed up. But too many times we find ourselves passing the blame on to someone else just so we don't have to deal with the discipline that is coming. And worse yet, we will tear others down when we see them messing up while being guilty of something as bad, if not more detestable, all because we're blind too many times to the things that we are doing wrong. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, where Jesus is discussing about not judging others, he hits on this when he says in verse 3, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So here Jesus is talking about how important it is for us to examine ourselves and to not judge others for the things that they need to get right, because we have plenty of work to do, amen? At times, blaming someone else may seem like the only option, but it never ends in a positive way. Never, never. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve responded to their bad decision in these three ways. And yet it is important that we realize what is at stake when it comes to how we respond to our own sin. And here's the thing. We respond in some of these same ways and end up causing ourselves and others more problems. I've seen wrong responses to bad choices in friendships cause marriages to fail, and even at times death. Your choices in life not only affect you, but the ones around you as well. And may we never take this lightly. Adam and Eve's wrong choice has affected every generation since. And so I ask you today, what impact will your sin have on the ones that you love? Now, with everything said so far and the first three points that we've made about the wrong responses, now we're going to talk about the right response, okay? I want you to know that there is good news and that I'm not just pointing the finger as we all, including me, deal with certain sins and struggles. No one is immune. But the good news is that instead of covering, hiding, and blaming others when we do wrong, God wants us to come to Him. He already knows the things that we have done, and He wants us to repent and turn away. And here's the thing, we can't do it on our own, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we turn away from our sin and struggles. In Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says this, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." And I hope for you this morning in this room, for you at home, that you realize what those verses are saying. You see, because too many times I've heard people say, you know what, God can't forgive me for what I did. He can't forgive me of that. And friend, that's just not true. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're willing to give it to Him, because He paid it all for us. And so when we mess up, our first response should be us taking it to the Lord. When I think about this, it reminds me of a situation that I found myself in when I was 14 years old. You see, a little backstory on me is I'm kind of a country boy, I guess you could say. I was raised on a 100-plus acre cattle ranch where we had a four-wheeler and a three-wheeler. I know that dates me a little bit, a three-wheeler. And so my family, especially my two other brothers, spent a ton of time riding and making trails in different parts of the farm. Well, one afternoon, While my parents were gone, my little brother Kyle and I decided to go on a four-wheeler ride. Now, to be clear, my parents were very protective, okay? And first off, would not have wanted me to be out riding while they were gone. And secondly, my pops always was preaching about riding safely and thinking before driving like a madman, so you can already see the problem with this scenario. So my brother and I, we hop on the old Honda four-wheeler and we zip out of the shed and down towards the trails. Now, to get to the trails, there was a clearing that you had to ride through before getting to the woods, which was relatively clear, but had quite a few just stumps in various spots. You know, stumps about yay tall. So, as I was close to the end of the clearing, I was going rather fast, and for some reason or other, then maybe wanting to scare my little brother, I slammed on the brakes, which normally would not have been a big deal, but there was still dew on the grass, and did I mention I was going pretty fast? I was. Well, in a split second, I lost control, and the four-wheeler's left back tire caught a stump and immediately threw my little brother over my back and about 15 to 20 feet ahead while rolling upside down right on top of me. And did I mention that neither one of us were wearing helmets? Yeah, this was a bad situation and could have been fatal. But thankfully, the Lord was watching over us, and neither of us had more than a scratch. And I can still remember this like yesterday. I remember pushing that four-wheeler off of me and immediately running over to my brother, who was sitting upright in shock and rubbing his knees. Man, he didn't know what had happened. So after standing him up and immediately seeing that he's okay, I thought, okay, one thing's down. We both go over and run over, and we look at the four-wheeler, and we see a bent rim. To this day, the fear that hit me the moment I saw that messed up wheel ranks in the top three scariest things that I have ever had happen to me. And what was the first thing that I did, do you think? Well, let me tell you, the first thing that happened was me and my little brother, we had a prayer meeting right there at the edge of the clearing. I'm telling you, we were there and we were on our knees and we were both praying, okay? I'm not sure what he was praying because he was only like 8 or 9. But I will tell you that I was praying that my father would not kill me. Now, I'll admit that I was sort of a knucklehead back in the day, which resulted in many visits with the belt. But this time, I knew the severity of what I had done. Not only had I messed up a piece of equipment that was used daily on the farm, but I had also put my life, along with my brothers, in jeopardy. After praying for what seemed like forever, I knew what I had to do. So I went to my mother at first with hopes that maybe she'd be the buffer. You know, maybe she'd be the buffer with my dad, but she said I had to tell him myself. And man, I tell you, thinking about this story as I was putting this together, oh, I remember that feeling that I had in my stomach. But as you can see me standing here today, my pops did not kill me, okay? And didn't even whip me. But he showed compassion and mercy, and I believe it's because I was straight with him and expressed true repentance. And that is what God wants from you today. That's what he wants. He wants that true repentance. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you come from, as long as you acknowledge and repent. So in closing, as the worship team makes their way up, the goal is that today we come to terms with the sin and struggles that we face, instead of trying to cover, hide, or blame others. When it comes to our sin, God has called us to turn to Him. And so this morning, I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart this morning in this room, or you that may be watching at home, but God does. And you know where you've been, you know what you're dealing with. And so this morning, fellow believer, maybe you've got something in your life that has just made a mess of things. I encourage you this morning to get it right. Don't hang on to it. Don't pull an Adam and Eve. He wants you to bring it to Him. And this morning, maybe this is the first time you've heard about grace. Maybe you've never heard the message before about what Jesus did for us. But let me just be very clear once again that He sent His Son to die on a cross for our sins, not just for me. Not just for some of the people in this room, but for everyone. And it's that free gift of grace that we can accept, but you just have to let him in. And so this morning, I encourage you, whether you're in this room, whether you're at home watching, that you give it to him this morning. So with that, let's pray. Father God, Lord, as we come to you right now, God, I thank you for the day that you've given us. God, I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you this morning for your spirit that I know is moving in this place. And Father, this morning I just ask, God, that as you're speaking to hearts this morning, that folks will respond to you this morning. God, I pray for those that are maybe mulling over giving it to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you help that stubbornness subside, God, and that they see that they don't need to go down the same road that Adam and Eve did. And Father, I pray for maybe that person out there that needs to accept you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that today be the day. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.